Blog Talk Radio.
On Friday, August the 22nd, which means it is time for the next installment of the Paranormal Hour with Willow Cross and Tracy Ford. I am your host, Willow Cross. We are here on the World of Heat Network, and I would like to invite those of you who are listening to come to the World of Heat Network and listen to all of our shows. We have the Book Discussion with Fran Lewis, the Writing Mama Show with Virginia Grenier, The Edge with Cassandra Dane, Right Step with R.J. Jeffries, A Good Story is a Good Story with Marcia Casper Cook, and Any Which Way But Loose with Bennett Pomerantz. If you aren't into the paranormal, well, first of all, you're listening to the wrong show. And secondly, we have something for everybody. So please come and join us on the World of Ink Network and listen to our shows. Tonight we have a very special guest. We have my co-host, Tracy Ford. Hey, Tracy.
Hello.
How goes it?
I'm good. I'm good. How are you?
I am fairly decent. I've had a rough week.
I understand that.
I've got some weird stuff going on at my house. And our guest tonight is psychic and new author Jamie Ronan. And we're going to get to him in a minute. But I want to tell you about the weird stuff that's going on at my house, girl.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
It's weird. And I knew when I bought this place that there was a presence, okay? He's not here all the time, so I don't believe he's attached to the house. I believe that he is attached to the land. And there are several houses in the area, so I think he kind of flows freely throughout them. But I felt him when I first moved in, and I was like, yeah, okay, I'm not going to get my dander up about it, because seriously, everywhere I live, if they're not there when I move there, they're there after I move there, so there's no point. The painting's in a bunch over it. So,
and they just follow you wherever you go.
Yeah, they do. It's like a moth to a flame. Anyhow, I have this phone. Now, I have to say, this is a very old corded phone. It's not a cordless phone. I threw my cordless phones away when I moved, thinking I was going to just use a cell phone, and then decided I needed my home phone. So I have this old corded phone, and every night, and I swear to you, I'm not lying, and I have people that can vouch for me if you guys want somebody to stand up and say, yeah, I heard this. Every night at 12:30 and 1:30, this phone rings. Every night.
Mm.
And I answer it, nobody's there. And I have called the phone company, which, well, I probably better not say the name, but I've called them and said, look, what is going on with my phone line? You're waking me up every night. Every night I get a call at 12:30 and at 1:30, and I wake up and answer the phone, and nobody's there. And of course, they think I'm nuts.
They're probably like, what is wrong with this lady?
They're like, well, you know, that's not us. And I'm like, well, you know, could it be something in the phone line? Maybe it's damp. There's, you know, wires that aren't covered, whatever, and they're like, no, I'm pretty sure that's not it. So now my phone company thinks I'm psycho. But it is strange. It is absolutely strange that this keeps happening in my house. Because I'm not, it's not like there's no doors opening and closing or any kind of weird stuff like that, and which I
now
I'm
they're using
that.
Electronics, which is very odd.
It is very odd. So I'm like, okay, well,
whoever is deciding to phone home must be really powerful for them to be able to feel that kind of connection.
I have already, I've talked to several people who said, well, you need to do a cleansing, which I've done. And I don't mean to toot my own horn, but I'm fairly proficient at cleansings. Generally, when I'm done cleaning a place, it's pretty freaking clean. That's done nothing. It's had zero effect whatsoever. And, I don't know. Just weirdness. That's my weirdness. So I just chalk it up to, well, there's Haunted Five. I'll just write another book.
New neighbor.
Anyhow,
hi, neighbor.
Jamie, welcome to the show, man. We're so glad to have you on here.
Oh, well, thank you, Willow.
Your bio is outstanding.
And Tracy. Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Tracy, for welcoming me to the show.
Like I said, I'm bowing. You just can't see me.
Your bio is outstanding. I can't believe the amount of stuff that you do. I do believe it, but holy cow, you're a busy guy.
I am busy. It's and on top of all that that's in my bio, I'm also going to school and getting my doctorate. So,
wow,
it's Superman.
Wow. Well, let me just read Jamie's bio for those of you that are listening. Jamie Ronan walks with one foot in this world and one in the other as a witch and a seer. As a psychic intuitive, Jamie uses his gifts to see the past, present, and future to help others, delves into past lives, and a guide to blessings and love. He also uses his gift as a paranormal investigator. Wow. I mean, that's like the whole realm of paranormal right there. And that doesn't even count the being the Reiki master. Did I say that right? Is it Reiki or Reiki or how do you say that?
Reiki. Yep.
And that's like the energy cleansings and stuff, right?
Yes. Yep. It's an overview of what Reiki is. It's a Japanese healing technique, primarily used for like stress reduction and relaxation, but it also promotes healing. And it's a laying on of hands technique.
Oh, wow. Dude, I need you. If it wasn't for our Dean Winchester rivalry, because just so you know, he's mine. I'm going to say that live and publicly. When he realizes the woman he's married to is not for him, he will come looking for me.
I don't even know who this is.
Or when he realizes that the woman he's married to is not for him and he needs a man. So.
Don't hurt my feelings like that, Ron. Don't hurt him. Oh, listen. You know what? The fact that you don't know who Dean Winchester is, I find appalling and shocking.
I don't. I am, like, online right now. I am looking this dude up.
It is the greatest show on earth.
Oh.
No, I don't. Okay. He used to be on Days of Our Lives.
Somebody told me that a while back.
Yeah, he used to be on Days of Our Lives, like when Jamie and I were in college and sat in the break room together and watched Days of Our Lives. He was on Days of Our Lives.
The first time he came on my radar was as Dean Winchester in episode 1 of Supernatural, because when I saw the previews for the show, I said, this is the show for me. And I have been their number one fan, which you can tell if you go to my fan page. It's like a prerequisite. If you work for me, that's your number one show, or you don't work for me. And we're all in love with Dean. I used to be in love with Sam. I did. I used to be so in love with Sammy, but, you know, he sort of started wimping out on me, and that was it. But now it's all about the Deanster. All right, let's get into the nitty-gritty of this. I want to hear your stories, Jamie. I want to hear about – tell us about your psychic abilities and how you use them.
I consider myself, as I stated in my bio, as a seer. I do not consider myself in any way, shape, or form a medium because I do not see or communicate with those who have passed on. sometimes I will. Okay, for a good example would be when I'm on one of my paranormal investigations. I'll go into a. Well, I'll just give you an example. We went to an old house in Ohio. It's in northern Ohio, and the man who built this house came from the South. His father was a plantation owner. He was an abolitionist, this man was, built the house with his family. He had slaves with him, but he freed them, and many of them stayed on as his hired help. And when I walked into the house, immediately what began happening was I began seeing glimpses of the past. So I was seeing people moving around the house as if they were in the 1800s, as if they were alive, but it was all in a vision.
Oh, wow.
I was not really picking up. Now, I can feel spirits, and if I do feel a spirit's energy, then I can, for lack of a better term, discern that spirit, what I call discern the spirit. So I can pick up if it's male or female. I can sort of pick up on, you know, what time period they came from, what they're wearing. But I do that by having visions of what they were like when they were alive. I'm not necessarily standing there seeing a spirit in front of me.
Yeah.
And I also don't hear them speaking to me. So I consider myself someone who can see the past, and I primarily see the past. I can also see what is going on with someone presently, and sometimes I can see the future. And when I do see future events, usually they come as premonitions, and they're usually, a lot of the times, they're warnings to someone, or sometimes they, you know, if it's a vision of love coming into their life, it's something that they just need to know at that time. But I always say that the future can be changed. And that's why I think that I sometimes get future messages. And a funny thing, I told Tracy this one time. I am not like Phoebe on Charmed. You know, I don't go into some type of spastic type of thing when I have a vision. Now, sometimes I also do psychometry, so if I want a stronger vision or if I want to connect to the person more, I'll touch their hand or I'll touch a piece of jewelry or clothing or an object of some type.
Can you explain in layman's terms for our listeners what psychometry entails?
Yes. Psychometry is just simply a psychic ability to where the psychic will touch usually an object. It can be a piece of jewelry. It can be a book, the wall, a piece of clothing. And the psychic reads the energy that has kind of gathered on that piece of object. And from that energy, I will have visions. Typically, I get visions of the past, sometimes present, sometimes future, but usually it's the past. And it's just really reading the energy, because energy, objects gather energy. And so that energy usually stays on that object unless you cleanse it with sage and other ways of cleansing it. So I can read that energy by touching it.
Oh, wow, that's really cool.
Is that not phenomenal?
So if I wanted you to give me a reading on me, I would have to send you something personal for you to do that.
Yes, and sometimes no.
He does it with me without touching anything.
Oh, wow. That's really
so
cool.
If I have a real deep connection with someone, or if I can build a connection with someone distantly, then a lot of times I can pick up, you know, information and things. But if I really want to get deep into it, if I touch the person's hand or something like that, a lot of times I'll get a deeper connection and I can get more information for them.
But you don't, let me just to clarify, you don't actually see the dead folks.
No.
Generally.
No, generally no.
Well, neither do I. I mean, generally. I do see apparitions from time to time, but it's more of a sensing. That's why I enjoy ghost hunting so much, because when I can get documented proof that backs up what I'm feeling, it's a validation, you know? You do ghost investigation, too. That's also in your bio.
Yes. Yes, I do.
Is that something that you do on a regular basis, or...?
Not as much as I would like to anymore. Before I started my doctorate studies and so forth, I did it a lot more often. And I had a kind of, I sort of had like a team that, you know, I would do it with. We weren't official or anything like that. We didn't drive around the Scooby-Doo van or anything, but, you know, we would... you know, we would just, you know, we would get together and, you know, we'd hear about, you know, a place that's supposedly haunted, and we would, you know, get permission to go in and do an investigation and things. So it was kind of a, just a throw together type of thing.
Oh, wow. That sounds like fun. Let me just say real quick, our switchboard is so full right now of calls, and people tend to get upset with me when I answer and say, caller, do you have a question, and they don't want to talk. So if you can hear me talking and you actually you have a question that you would like to ask Jamie, myself, or Tracy, please log into chat. You might have to refresh your browser and let us know that you have a question, because I don't want to answer the phone and then have people angry at me because I answered the phone. So if you don't mind to do that, I'd appreciate it. Just refresh your browser and log into chat. You can use your Facebook. You can do it incognito, whatever you want to do. And just let me know that you want to talk on air, and we will put you on.
Yeah, I mean, I'm watching the chat, so if anybody would want to ask something or need to call in, I'm looking at it right now. So
we have so many callers right now that it would literally take 30 minutes to get to every one of them. So
wow.
That's why I want to make sure before I start saying, caller, do you have a question, and waste 30 minutes for people that don't actually want to speak.
Right.
So, all right, so tell me something, Jamie.
Okay.
Your scariest psychic encounter, which encounter of all of them have you had that just kind of shook you to the core? Because I know there had to have been one. You don't live this many years and not have something that just shakes you.
Oh, I'm probably going to get personal here. I'm fine with doing that. I actually psychically saw my mom's death. That one was bad. My mom had back in 2006, my mom had a stroke, rather suddenly. And it was, I mean, obviously the stroke happened and I didn't see the stroke happen. But what happened was my mom started getting better. She went to rehab. She was going through all those things. And I was in my mom's hospital room. I was sitting with my mom. My dad had went downstairs to do something, and I reached out, and I was just holding her hand, and it was a flash of my mom's funeral, and in that vision, I knew that it was soon. I knew that it was something that was coming rather soon. I knew it was cold outside because there were people coming in, you know, wearing scarves and coats and things of that nature. And it shook me. And that was, to me, that was probably that was the scariest.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
I'm sure you were devastated.
Yeah, and my mom died on December 14th, 2006, right before Christmas.
Oh. Well... Jamie, I hate to switch gears here on you like this, but we have a couple of callers with questions. Do you mind if we take them?
That's fine.
Okay. All right. DeLorean Jackson. DeLorean, are you there? Hello?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Go ahead and speak.
Oh, okay.
What would you like to say?
I too go around and do some paranormal investigating. Have you ever been down to the Cactus Hotel in Roy, New Mexico? It's supposedly one of the most haunted places around there.
Who are you speaking to? Just general, all of
them? Your guest? I didn't catch his name. All of you. I don't know. Maybe there's been one of you that have been there.
Jamie, go ahead.
I have not.
I haven't either.
I haven't either, but, boy, I'd love to go.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, because I've actually been down there, and I actually saw an entity, and he ran around going, "I'm going to fuck you in the ass. I'm going to put it right there right between your cheeks, motherfucker." I was like, whoa, where is this coming from? And it was fucking Dwight with his mop. It was insane. He said, "I'm going to fuck you. I'm going to fucking put it up your ass."
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's not at all terrifying.
Your ass.
I think that would have probably scared me half to death.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
It was scary.
It's amazing.
This vision of this guy named Roy. He killed JonBenet Ramsey, and he was running around in there, too.
You're positive he killed her?
Yep, I saw him. It was a reenactment. It was a loop.
Well, I'll tell you what. One of the things I've noticed.
And then Trayvon Martin was running around in there, and he had some Skittles and shit.
One of the things I've noticed.
Excuse me, ma'am. How many fingers can
When it comes to paranormal activity, I've noticed that there are certain things that are so extremely tenuous and strong that they seem to replay forever. And one of the key things, what's that hotel called? It's in Mineral Wells, Texas, the Baker Hotel. There's a story there about, I believe, and I hope I'm not getting this wrong. If I am, please don't crucify me. But I believe that she was a prostitute that was held hostage there. And almost everyone that goes in there that's a psychic intuitive sees this woman chained to this radiator-style thing that's not even there anymore. But they'll see it, and then they'll go back to the room, and then the radiator's not even there. In the realm of the paranormal, who's to say what's possible? All right, we have a call from Maya. Let me find Maya. I'm not sure. Oh, I don't see her. Myra, and I have a question if possible. Myra, honey, if you're in as a guest, you need to call back in because I'm not seeing you in the queue. There's a bunch of people in the queue right now, so anyone that has a question that they'd like to ask, please log into chat and let us know, and we'll go on from there.
Good grief.
DeLorean, you know what? I got nothing, dude. I got nothing. I really got nothing. How many fingers do you have up? Three. I don't know. I'm not psychic. I see dead people. I don't read mine. Okay. All right. Let's go on. Let's go on with you, Jamie, and let's talk about you.
Okay.
You have a new book that's going to be coming out soon.
Yes. It's a young adult book. It's fiction. I kind of give you a nutshell what the book's about. I'm, as a gay man, I am obviously all about equal rights and equality and so on, but one of my biggest pet peeves is bullying. Hate it. And So a lot of the organizations that I support are anti-bullying organizations. And my book deals with a young teenage guy who is unfortunately bullied relentlessly. And in the midst of that, you know, he lives in a small southern Ohio town, loosely based off of the town that Tracy and I grew up in, and which is a hotbed of paranormal activity in itself. And he turns out to be, he discovers slowly that he's a witch, that he comes from a long line of male witches, which I'm very key about. A lot of young adult books and books in general that deal with people being witches tend to deal more with females, which nothing wrong with that. But there's not a lot about boys or men being witches.
Yeah.
If you run into a book that deals with that, they're usually called wizards or called warlocks, those type of things. And I don't like the term warlock. So, but he discovers he's a male witch. And in the midst of all that, there's this creature that's after him, wanting revenge on his family. But in the midst of all this supernatural stuff going on, it's really about this kid discovering who he is, embracing that, accepting himself, but also finding his own inner strength and his own inner power. And from that, he's able to fight and ultimately battle this creature and protect his friends. And he does have a love interest. The love interest does come into play. So, but I wanted to kind of, in the midst of those all those things, I wanted to talk to my readers about being who they are, loving who they are, finding their own strength, and I'm also teaching kids not to bully and so on. So,
well, and that's really important. That is really important. That's one of the things, you know, I have several nonfiction books. I have my Haunted Ghost series, but I also have Getting Over It, and Getting Over It is about dealing with pain and rejection and so on, and I say so on, not like I make light of it, but it's not for everybody. It's not a book for everybody. It's a book for people who have been through the crap and want to find a way out of it. And Haunted is simply just true ghost stories, mine and people that I know. It seems we've been inundated tonight with phone calls, prank calls, which happens from time to time. And I'm sorry, Jamie, that it happened to be the show that you were on. But I want to make sure everybody's clear on this. Yes, this is all very funny, haha. I don't take that stuff seriously because I understand that people are non-believers, and people who are stringent non-believers believe just as strongly that the paranormal is a bunch of crap as I believe it is for real. And most people, until they've encountered it, don't understand how very real and how very scary it can be. I sound very jaded when I discuss paranormal happenings in my home because I have been dealing with this my entire life. However, for people who are new to it, for non-believers who have just now discovered, hey, I cannot find an explanation for this thing, it's freaking terrifying. So if you're listening right now, please don't think that we're making light of your situation because we are not. And don't pay any attention to those people who call in and just want to, you know, start stuff. It happens. And it will happen, as with everything, anything you don't understand scares you, and if it scares you, you have to make fun of it, because if you don't make fun of it, it becomes too real. So anyhow, I digress.
Well said.
I digress.
Well,
Willa,
said.
Can I kind of say something along those lines too?
You go right ahead.
You know, like you asked me what was one of my scariest psychic visions. Well, I can tell you one thing. Before I even knew I was a psychic, before I even knew what that was, I grew up experiencing supernatural or paranormal things my whole life also. And I lived in a what I like to call a hollow. And if you're from Appalachia, a lot of times people call it a holler. Which bugs me, because it's not a holler, it's a hollow, okay? It's like, Jesus, like, I mean, have you ever heard anyone say, well, you know, I got to read The Legend of Sleepy Holler last night? No.
Nah.
It's a hollow, okay. But I lived in this little hollow area, and I would see what I, and I've heard people call them this, shadow people. These beings that look like shadows that have come off of the wall and they're moving around on their own free will, and they're not part of the darkness. These are the things that I started seeing as a little boy that kind of was my initiation into the supernatural or the paranormal. I would be looking out my window and see one moving around in my yard. I even woke up one time lying in bed, and I was lying there, and something was saying, do not turn around, do not turn around, do not turn around. And stupid me, I turned around and saw one literally kneeling at the side of my bed. And to me, it looked like a silhouette of a man. And he was kneeling beside my bed, just sort of staring at me, but there was no detail. There was no, it just like someone had cut him off the wall and he was standing there. Those are the types of things, and I really value what you said earlier, that, you know, people experience this stuff, and it's scary, especially if you don't know what it is or don't have any way of explaining it. And I think that that's why people like us are put here. You know, we've experienced these things, and I think we're here to help, and we're here to educate.
I agree
exactly.
With that. I agree with that. I agree with that wholeheartedly. Listen, don't think any of you, and I would believe that, and maybe wrongly so, but I believe that most of my listeners probably know me pretty well. If you're listening to this show, you've most probably been on my fan page. You've probably read at least one of my books, or you wouldn't be here, because why would you waste your time? I take a lot of flack for this. Read my reviews, dude. Read my reviews, because I don't even know. I couldn't even count how many reviews I've had on the Haunted series of how full of myself I am and how crazy it is that I seem to be the only one, but it's not just me. I'm not the only one that's experienced these things. This runs in my family. I have a sister that could tell you stories. I have aunts that can tell you stories. I have great aunts that have more stories than I've even begun to write. I have children who can tell you stories. And my kids aren't crazy. They're not crazy. They are normal children. Of course, they're grown, but, I mean, they can tell you stories. Their kids can now tell you stories. I have a 4-year-old grandson that can tell you a story that will make your blood curdle. As soon as he came to me with the information, I did a massive cleansing, and I took care of it. And then I spent 3 days in bed, because this is not easy. It's not easy peasy. It's not all fun and games and ha-ha, it's a ghost. Sometimes it's hard on you. And I don't talk a whole lot about that, because I don't bring the big nasties into too terribly much, because it's dangerous to do so. I have friends. I have two of my very best friends. One's a pagan, the other one's Wiccan. They're both high priests in their covens. They could tell you stories that would make your skin crawl. They're coming on, by the way, too, September 12th. So you
awesome.
Need to come listen
awesome.
To their stories. But it's not all fun and games, and it's not funny ha-ha, and it's not Casper the Friendly Ghost a lot of times. Sometimes it is. I've lived in several places where I firmly believe that if the dead are not there to do harm, you should leave them alone, because they were there first.
Right.
When I encounter spirits such as this, I leave them alone, because they were here first. if they cannot live amicably with me, then they get thrown the hell out because I don't play that game. When it comes to my kids and my grandkids and myself, I don't play that game. You play by my rules or see you later, bye.
Exactly.
But it's rough stuff. So anyhow, go ahead, Jamie. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut in like that.
Oh, no,
I just get real frustrated because some people think this is a big joke, and it's not a joke. I take it real seriously. Tracy takes it very seriously. I know you, Jamie, take it very seriously. And, you know, this isn't meant to be a funny ha-ha show. We have some fun on here and we have some laughs, but this is real stuff, people. And if you don't believe it's real, then you shouldn't be listening to me and the story.
That's right.
Preach
this. That's right. And it's definitely not something to play with. That's
no, it's not. Listen, every time I watch one of these ghost hunting shows, and some buddy says, well, I wanted to contact the dead, so I got a Ouija board. Immediately, I just cringe, and I'm like, are you effing crazy?
No.
In what universe did somebody tell you that was okay? And there's a lot of people who disagree with me on that. There's a lot of people who think that that is the way to communicate with the dead. But listen, the dead are no different than the living. When you get online, you don't know who's behind that computer screen. That person
That's
could
right.
be talking to you and telling you everything you want to hear, and you could think they're absolutely wonderful. And until you send them some money to help them out of their whatever problem that is, you don't know that they're scamming you and that it's all a bunch of BS. The dead are no different than the living. They are dead, living people. So don't buy any bridges from anyone ever, period, end of story.
Exactly. I mean, and, you know, they want you to open the door. I mean, some of the spirits, they want you to open the door, and they want you to allow them to come into our world. And
yeah.
I hate Ouija boards. I hate them. I think that they are a doorway, and sometimes when you open a door, it's very hard to shut that door.
Right.
Yep.
And
right.
I'm like you. I watch these paranormal shows, and, you know, someone whips out the Ouija board, and, you know, and now they have something, you know, in their house that they can't that they can't handle.
Right.
And it's, you know, it's not a game. And
I've watched that happen over and over. We had, I'm not going to mention names, but we had a ghost hunting crew come on, and we had a young man who's an amazing investigator, very dedicated to the cause. And he ended up with something that was saturating his home and his family and wreaking complete and total havoc. Simply because in his desire to be completely scientific and debunk everything and not jump to any conclusions, he ignored the fact that there was something there that was dangerous. Listen, this is not all fun and games. Yes, we do have a YouTube channel. Yes, we are going to start putting up paranormal investigations that I myself am doing with a group of young people who are all related to me, by the way. They're all nieces and nephews, and I think that's a necessity, and I'll tell you why, because when I take control over everything. That way, if anything decides to come at us, they got to come at me first. Because if I'm going to fight it, that's one thing. But you come after my great niece or my great nephew, you're in a world of trouble. and that's just the way I do things, because I want to make sure that they are safe. And they've been doing this long before I ever moved back home to Indiana. They've been doing this. And now that I've cleansed all their houses and completely depleted my resources, I want to make sure that I don't have that issue again, because they've all brought stuff home with them. I'm not kidding. I wasn't back 24 hours and the call started coming in. Aunt Willow, we need you. Well, yeah, I bet you do. There are certain things you don't do when you're ghost hunting, honey. Anyhow, so that's the point I'm getting to, is that you need to be safe. take it seriously. Ghost hunting is a lot of fun. Man, I thoroughly enjoy it. Hey, Lisa. My psychic advisor has just entered the room. She's coming on the show, too. You'll absolutely love her. She's a whole new kind of crazy and just my kind of people. Anyhow, take it seriously. It's not a joke. But you can have fun with it and still take it seriously. All right,
exactly.
So let's go into some deeper realms for you. I would like to talk about the whole being a Reiki master and what that entails and what you do.
Okay. Well, again, Reiki is – the first thing I want people to know about Reiki, who you have never heard of it is a healing practice. That is the first thing I want people to understand about Reiki. And again, it's a Japanese technique. The history is very there's a lot of different history. There's a lot of different it's sort of like Christianity. There's a lot of different denominations of Reiki, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But my tradition, what I was taught under, is the Usui tradition. It's the very first tradition, and the history behind that was first of all, it's not a religion. I don't want anyone to think it's a religion because it is not. It is a practice, and it's a healing technique. And Makeo Usui was the founder of the original tradition that was brought over to the United States. He went to Asia. He was taught Reiki by a group of Buddhist monks. He was fascinated with it, and then he brought it over to Hawaii, and he began teaching that to others. And how I discovered it was a little bit of a journey. I was going to be a Methodist minister.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and my life became like a made-for-TV gay Lifetime movie, and because it was seriously, I was going to be a Methodist minister, was going to go to seminary and do the whole minister thing, and the whole time I knew I was gay. I knew it, and I was madly in love with this guy that I went to church with, and the whole time I was keeping it a secret for years. We're talking probably a good 10, 12 years. And eventually what ended up happening was I just couldn't handle it anymore. And in the midst of that, I began having, which I've always had psychic impressions or psychic abilities or psychic visions, but
mm-hmm.
I never really understood them. And so I came out. My coming out was kind of broadcast to my church, and I ended up leaving the church and began kind of going on this journey, this spiritual journey. And the first thing I started looking at was psychic abilities and trying to understand my own abilities and what was happening. And through that, I met this wonderful lady who was a Reiki master. She invited me to come to one of her, what they called their healing, their Reiki retreats or their Reiki healing sessions, which basically a group of Reiki practitioners would get together one Saturday and just heal everybody. I mean, we would just take turns, you know, doing Reiki.
Mm-hmm.
And here I was, an observer, was really fascinated by it. She offered to do a Reiki session for me, and it just really started lifting a lot of that emotional baggage off of me. I started feeling, it made me feel really relaxed and really good, sort of like how a massage would do. But what it really started doing was it started kind of breaking away or chipping away at some of those walls that I had put up. And eventually I started studying under this lady. It took me about 5 years completely to go through each of the three different steps to becoming a Reiki master and teacher. And I'll kind of go over those real quick. The first step, when you're in Reiki, you become attuned. And what that means is a Reiki master will go through this sort of ceremony or ritual with you where they will do a Reiki session on you, but while they're doing that, they're opening you up and chipping away at some of these walls that have been built up, emotional walls in your aura and in your energy field. And that allows the Reiki energy to begin to flow through you. And what Reiki energy is, it stands for God energy. And you are literally kind of like a filter when you are a Reiki practitioner. You're not doing anything. You're just allowing this energy to flow from the universe, to flow from spirit into your body and out of your hands. That's all that you're doing. And
oh, wow.
So, yeah, that's it. I mean, you're just kind of standing there allowing this energy to flow out of your hands. And, you do study, there are some hand positions that you do. You have the person lie down on their back,
mm-hmm.
and you usually start at their head and you move down to their feet. And it's just allowing this energy to flow out of you into them. And your first class, you become a learner, you have your first attunement. When you're ready, you go to your second attunement, and then you go to your third attunement, which is your master level. And at that point, once you have that session and that class, you are then able to pass that attunement on to others, and you're able to teach. And it's pretty amazing.
I did a piece, actually, Jamie helped me do a piece about that on my blog. Did I do that on YouTube also? I can't remember.
I think I did, because I did it
on the blog, and I did an episode on YouTube about that, and that was very interesting. Very interesting. I need that. I need to come to Lexington. I need that.
It sounds like, and honestly, I didn't know that, maybe I'm wrong, but when I meditate, listen, I learned meditation years ago when I was like 16. I don't even remember where I learned it from. But when I meditate, that's what I visualize. The light coming, you know, I start with my hands and I visualize and see the spheres of light start to grow, and then they grow larger and encompass my entire body. And I have done that, forever. So
you're pretty much on the same page. Yeah,
it sounds, I didn't know that that was called Reiki, though. For me, that's just meditation.
Yeah, I mean, you can call it white light, but it's allowing this energy that, you know, comes from spirit, you know, whether you want to say it comes from God, the goddess, the universe, spirit, and it's a healing energy that flows out of the universe into you and out of your hands. And I have used Reiki to help people with a bad back, with migraine headaches. I have mm-hmm. used it to help people with emotional problems. I have used it to help people with one of the greatest stories is there was a man who literally had cancer, and he was HIV positive. And he would come to our Reiki sessions, you know, with my teacher, and we would have these Reiki sessions with him, and he would come every single time that we would have these Reiki meets. And he eventually went to his doctor, and his doctor said, "I don't know what you were doing, but your cancer is in remission." Now, I'm not saying that it was only the Reiki that did that, but I am saying that the Reiki helped.
Yeah.
Because I have literally seen Reiki do some miraculous things for people. And it's pretty amazing. I love it. And I've actually used it during paranormal investigations. Because let me just tell you, the bad ones, they don't like it.
No. Mm-hmm. They won't.
They don't like it.
Well, it's a form of that I use to, I constantly preach about owning your own space to people who are infested with the dead or other things. That's part of what I use to own my own space, because it's like a bubble that you create around yourself. And that particular space is yours, and you can make that bubble as big or as small as you need it to be. And listen, this is truth, people. You may think I'm full of crap, but I'm telling you it's truth. You can make that bubble as large as you need it to be, and if you need it to be as big as your entire house, then that's how big you make it. And as long as you have control over that and you own that space, nothing can affect you there. Unless it's a big nasty, and even they have a hard time. They really do. I don't want to trivialize those entities that I call the big nasties, because believe me, there's nothing trivial about those. I told you guys that I did a bunch of cleansings right after I got home, and one of the cleansings I had to do was at my best friend's house, and her kids called it the dark thing. And when I walked in, after she said, "Look, I need you to come here. I need this dealt with." I walked in and immediately was ensconced in this presence. I mean, it just enveloped me. And I just stood there going, "Oh, dude, this is going to hurt." Because I knew it was going to hurt. It was going to take a lot of time, and it was going to take a lot of effort. And I made a mistake. And I constantly tell people, don't be arrogant, don't be arrogant. And I made a mistake because I became arrogant. And I ran into my friend's daughter at her workplace, and she told me that she'd been having all these bad dreams and this, that, and the other thing. And I, in my arrogance, said to her, "You know what? You tell that thing when you go home tonight that I'm coming for it tomorrow, and it better be ready."
Oh, God.
Yeah, I know. I know better. I've done this long enough that I know better. But I did it anyhow because my ego got the best of me. And let me tell you what, I spent the entire night battling that thing in my sleep. My children, my grown children who were living in my household, battled that thing in their sleep. My grandchild, who lives with me also, woke up over and over again having bad dreams. And when I woke up in the morning, I was absolutely exhausted. And I knew it was my fault. I knew it was my fault. But I showed up there anyhow. And luckily, it spent so much energy battling me all night long that it was fairly easily dismissed. But I brought that on myself because I opened my big fat mouth and said stuff that I knew better. I knew better. And I'm constantly telling people, don't get an ego. But I did, because I'd had so many wins in such a short period of time, I let it get the best of me. So don't discount the power of big nasties. And I'll tell you what, in all honesty, there's a friend of mine in Anderson who has been asking me to come there since May. And I haven't gone yet. And I haven't gone yet because I'm afraid. Because this thing is something I have never encountered before. And I'm nervous. And I don't want to go alone. And I don't mind saying that on air and out loud. I don't want to go alone. Because I don't know what I'm getting into here. So anybody wants to go with me? You go ahead and sign up on the Paranormal Hour fan page. Because I'll take you with me. Because I don't know what this thing is.
I'll hop on my broomstick and I'll be right there with you.
You saw the picture, didn't you, Trace? Thanks, Jamie. I appreciate that. The picture that I posted on the fan page, somebody that I know that's very into Wiccan told me that was what they call a crone.
No, I'm getting on the Facebook page right now. What did you post something on there?
I posted a picture. It was probably a couple of weeks ago. And it was a picture that she had sent me, and you can see it hovering over a bed in a room that was reportedly empty.
Okay, I'm looking for it.
And when I saw it, I realized I had no idea what I was dealing with.
Okay, is it this picture was taken by one of our listeners in their home?
Mm-hmm.
Let me see, because my computer screen stinks, though. So I can't really see it on this screen.
Have you tried Febreze?
I love Febreze.
No, you know exactly what I would do to the computer screen.
Let me see real quick. I've got a caller that's been holding for a very long time, and I want to see if this is an actual caller, so hang on just a second.
Okay.
Caller, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Do you have a question?
Yeah.
Or a story?
I was just kind of curious. Just how much connection when people pass over? So, like I had one year where there was four family members that passed over, and some of them I can feel around and some I can't. And I was just wondering what types of connection that is. I mean, is it that they don't really or they're not able to respond if you're looking for their energy? Or is there something else that I could do to increase that energy with those that I haven't really been connected with?
Well, I think we could probably all answer that question differently. For myself, I can say that I believe that sometimes they don't realize they've passed. And in not realizing they've passed, the connection isn't as strong. You sense them, but they don't realize they're gone. So they don't make the effort. Does that make sense? Because
it does.
They don't understand. And then other times the connection is very, very strong because they realize they're gone and they want to connect to you, so they try harder. That's just my opinion, and there's no scientific proof to back that up. Tracy, Jamie, you want to weigh in on this question?
I'll let Jamie go first. I'm sending him a link to the picture on our fan page.
To answer your question, I agree with Willow that some spirits, after they've passed, they simply don't realize that they've passed, and so they're kind of hanging out, not really understand what's happening to them or why you can't communicate with them or why they can't communicate with you, which I can just imagine is beyond frustrating as well as very scary probably for them. And I love what Willow said at the beginning of the show when she said that, you know, we have to think of spirits. These were people who at one time were alive, just like we are. And they get scared. They get frightened just the same as we do. Now, I think at the same time, you have cases where the spirits know that they have passed, but they are hanging out or they are staying, you know, they haven't went through the light or they haven't, quote, passed on because maybe they feel like they have some unfinished business. We've all heard that. That's a pretty common, thing to say about when it comes to ghosts and spirits. But I think also sometimes they feel like they need to protect you. And I also think that maybe that there is some truth in the fact that there are some spirits, I think, that they can go between the worlds, that they can walk from the world that is beyond our world. They can go there, they can hang out over there, they can do whatever they do there, and then sometimes they come back. And sometimes they come back to us, like they may come and maybe you can't see them, but maybe you'll feel someone sit on the edge of your bed. Or
mm-hmm.
you'll feel that gentle touch that you makes you think of someone who has passed on, or maybe you smell their favorite perfume or their favorite flower. That's
mm-hmm.
just them kind of saying, hey, I just came to visit. And then other times, I think that they make their presence known through dreams.
Mm-hmm.
I have a friend who very recently, he's been having dreams about his mom who passed. And the things that she says to him in these dreams are very profound. They're not, it's just not just a dream about his mom. There's
yeah.
something about these dreams that seem very profound. So I think there's variations.
Well, you know, when my mom had passed, it was probably about a week later. I know it wasn't just a dream. I've never dreamt like this before or since then, but I woke up because I know that she came to me in the dream in the state that it was, and she had asked me, did I honestly believe that she tried as hard as she could to be a good parent? And I actually woke myself up saying, yes, I honestly believe that. And so, I, you know, and it's funny because actually today is the anniversary of her passing 7 years ago, and last week I smelt smoke all around me. She was a heavy smoker, and I smelt smoke all around me. So I can get senses of her. My brother that passed and my dad that passed, I never have a sense of them, and I've always been kind of like, you know, I pray that they're doing well. You know, I try to send them good energy, but at the same time, I'm wondering that if I did any sort of ritual, if I would be harming them in some way, shape, or form on their side in saying, okay, go to the light or be at peace or anything like that.
A lot of the time, if you are hearing from one and not the other, it's likely that the one you're not hearing from has already reincarnated. Like, I've ran into that situation many times. I constantly have dream communication with my grandfather, but I never hear from my grandmother on my mother's side. I never hear from my uncle on my mother's side.
Okay.
My assumption is, because I personally believe that they, especially the ones that know that they've passed on, they will, I guess for lack of a better term, they'll check in on the other side, go through the light, check in, and sometimes there's an assignment already waiting for them. Sometimes there's not. Sometimes they can come and go as they please. Sometimes the best way, and a lot of times, especially if they're family, they know how to get your attention. So if
right.
your mother knew this is the way I can get her attention is through a dream, they're going to use that avenue, especially not to scare you. Because they, a lot of times, they will know that they, I don't want to say are more powerful than we are, but they can do so much more in spirit than we ever can in body. So for them to reveal themselves totally in spirit, it would, I believe it would almost shock us too much. So,
yeah.
And I
yeah.
think in that sense, a lot of times, those people that have passed on, especially family members, a lot of times they will be assigned to you to walk you through the rest of your life. And
I agree
a lot
with
of
that
times
part.
They're waiting on you when you shut your eyes for the last time. A lot of times that was the purpose for them coming back to you, was to lead you into the light unafraid. Because
I agree with
death,
that. I agree with that. But I disagree
yeah.
with part of it.
I do think it's like a personal experience. Like, that's what I've experienced with my grandfather and my aunt on my mom's side and my grandmother on my father's side. I don't believe it's the same for everybody. So that's just, like, my take on it.
Yeah, yeah. And I agree with a large part of what Tracy is saying. I agree with. I do believe in reincarnation, just so we're clear on that. I do not believe we come back as cows and ducks and horses, just so we're clear
on
that, too.
No, I don't either.
However,
Jesus Christ, imminently, I don't want to come back as, like, an ant or a snail or something like that.
I want to live forever,
no.
Not like that. I have very similar beliefs to what Tracy has just said. However, they differ in some ways. I believe that when you can sense someone who's passed freshly after they've passed, it's because they're still here. And when you cease to be able to sense them, it's because that they have gone, they've crossed over. I also believe, and granted, I have no scientific proof to back this up, okay? This is what I believe. That has nothing to do with science, and as far as I know, unless science makes some serious leaps and bounds in the paranormal realm, it will never have any scientific basis or fact. I also believe that when you cannot sense someone who's passed, it's because they are elsewhere. Where that elsewhere is, no one has any way of knowing. They really don't. I mean, how are we going to prove that?
Right.
Those that you sense are there for a reason. And those that you don't sense, there's a reason for that, too. I don't think you should put too much stock in any of it, honestly. It is what it is. I know that sounds kind of crazy considering we're all into the paranormal here, but it is what it is. If they're there and they're trying to tell you something, try to find an answer. And if they're not there, don't question it. Just be glad that they've moved on to wherever they've moved on.
Mm-hmm.
In the end, we'll all know what's going on.
Yeah.
Over with, we'll all know what's going on. But until that time, it's nothing but questions, and don't let it eat you alive, because it can.
No.
If you're worried about why I can't hear from this one or why I can't hear from that one, it can eat you alive. Just be thankful that you sense the presence you do, and let them know. I believe you should always let them know it's okay to move on. Because I think some folks stay in this realm because they think they have to, and this isn't the place for them. This world is not the place for them. There is a place for them, and it isn't here, or they would still be here corporeally.
Let me ask you what you guys feel about the idea that even though people have passed, no matter where they're at on the other side, that, you know, when you think of them or you send them good thoughts or wet light or love, peace, any of that stuff, that you're still sending them blessings no matter what it is. You know, how do you guys feel about that?
How do I feel? Okay. I don't think I understood your question.
I don't think I did either. I was going to ask her to repeat what she was asking.
Okay, I'm sorry. Let me try to retake that. I had heard that there is a belief, and maybe it's kind of more in the Wiccan range of belief or ideology, that in working to bless other people, that even though they pass, so even with my family members that have passed, that to hold them in good thoughts, to keep a white light about them, to believe in them and to wish them well, basically, is you're actually still sending spirits on the other side. You're still sending them a good energy or a good vibe that they can still utilize no matter what it is, no matter what realm that they're in.
Like a message system, almost.
It's like you're boosting them, correct?
Yeah.
Is that what you mean? You're giving them a boost.
Yeah.
All right.
It's in love that you're still, no matter whether it's good or bad, whatever they ended up in, it's still a good thing to be doing that for them.
Jamie, I'm going to be very straightforward with you.
Cool.
Sorry, Trace. I'm going to be very straightforward with you and understand that I'm an individual, and I believe what I believe, and it has no scientific basis of proof, okay? This is just what I believe. Setting out positive thoughts and positive energy, I believe, is a good thing, regardless of whether it's for dead folks, live folks, or just life in general, because when you put out good, good returns to you. This is a proven fact, and although it's not scientific, it is proven. There is something to this whole karma outlook, because good people tend to get good things in return, and bad people, although good people do go through bad times, bad people tend to get nothing back but bad. They may end up being filthy rich, but they're not happy with it. So I do believe that there is some truth to that line of thought. However, I wouldn't put too much stock in it, and I'll tell you why. If we spend all of our time, and this sounds ridiculous because I'm a ghost investigator, I write true ghost stories, I talk on a paranormal hour show about ghosts, so my life is inundated with dead folks. So it sounds kind of stupid for me to say this, but if you spend your entire life concerned with the dead, you're not concerned with the living, and those are the important folks. And I'm not trying to preach to you by any means. I'm just saying that we can lose ourselves in the desire to communicate with the dead, and in doing so, we lose our ability to communicate with the living. Does that make sense? And I'm not saying you're doing that. I'm just saying it is what it is.
Yeah.
Ask questions, debunk whatever you can, feel whatever you feel. But the end of the story is this. We are still alive, and we still have lives to live, and we should be living them. In the interim, if we can help the dead folks, yay for us. And if we can't, well, it's because we're still alive and they're not. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to like make a joke out of that, but that's how I feel about it. And somebody else, go ahead. Tracy, Jamie, weigh in.
I'm gonna let Jamie go.
I kind of agree with Willow to some degree too, because I think that you can't. Okay, like I mentioned earlier in the show, my mom passed away in 2006. My mom was my best friend, and I missed my mom every single day. And every time that something awesome or good happens in my life, I have this need or desire to get on the phone and call my mom, but I can't. But I can talk to my mom, and I will do that. I'll say, Mom, I got my master's degree. Your mom, whatever. And I'll kind of throw that out there. But at the same time, even though I miss my mom terribly, and there are times when I feel my mom's presence, I also have to focus on, you know, my life here, my family, my friends who are still here with me. And, you know, when my mom passed away, or before my mom passed, you know, I had a good relationship with my dad, but I wasn't very close to my dad. And I think after my mom passed, that opened the door for my dad and I to become closer, and that was a blessing. Because now my dad is one of my best friends, and I never had that with him. So I think it's a good thing to, you know, to send love and to send positive thoughts to those who have passed on. But I also think that you have to, you know, focus on the living. And in fact, in Wicca, and paganism, Samhain, which is the true, you know, the first name for Halloween.
Right.
One of the rituals that is done is that we have a mute supper, and at the supper, at the Halloween or Samhain dinner, there is a place set for those who have passed. It's a place of honor, and you do honor them during that time. You know, you tell stories about them, and you kind of laugh and have joy about the life that they had. But you don't do that all year around, is what I'm trying to say. It's good to think about them and to send them good thoughts. And I definitely agree with Willow when you said that what you put out, you get back. If you're putting out negative all the time, unfortunately, a lot of times you're going to kind of see that negative coming at you. But if you put out positive, you're also going to get positive. That's not to say that there aren't going to be times, though, when you could be the most positive person, and unfortunately, bad things do happen. So it's kind of
amen to that.
Yeah.
Amen to that.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, it's a catch-22, hon. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
There's no equation for this that I know of. We can't work it out logically. It just is what it is. That's why I say be thankful for those you can sense. You know, there are folks that have passed that in my very close family realm that I have been able to sense, and I was very grateful for it. There have been others that from the moment they left us on, I didn't sense a blessed thing. And it hurt me. I felt bad because that's my thing. My thing is seeing, talking to, sensing the dead. And it did bother me to the point where at times I was like, well, what's wrong? Why is it I can go to this place and some person I don't even know can say, hey, tell my sister, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, this is my mother and I can't sense her. Why can't I do that? Well, because it wasn't in the cards and that was not how it was meant to be. That's why.
Mm-hmm.
Because anything that's meant to be will happen and anything that isn't will not. End of story. So don't let it bother you.
Thank you.
It is what it is. And be grateful if you can, that you can sense what you can, because most people can't. That's why there are so many non-believers. And for those of us who do believe, it's a pretty awesome thing, because nobody has to prove to us there's life after death. We already know about it. And that in itself is worth its weight in gold as far as I'm concerned.
That's a good point.
Okay, we have on the line Michaela, also known as Lisa, who has been, she says she didn't know she was my psychic advisor, which is a bunch of crap. because you know you are. Listen,
I'm everybody's
Michaela,
psychic advisor.
I've been trying to get her to call into this show forever and a day. So thank
well,
you for finally calling
now.
In, my friend. What's that?
I said, you can bite me now.
I will, as soon as I see you. Head this
I'm
direction.
Everybody's psychic advisor.
So weigh on this. Weigh
so
in
I
on
doing,
this.
Well, my question for the last caller was, does she want to be connected to these people? And does she trust being connected to them? Because personally, if your gut says no, I wouldn't try to connect. I mean, I understood her question, but the bigger question is, if she really wanted to be and trusts the connection, go ahead and allow it by just simply saying, okay, I'm here, I'm listening. But if your gut tells you don't do it, 9 times out of 10, you need to trust your gut feeling.
I agree with that wholeheartedly. Our guts, as human beings, our guts, how's that for disgusting? Our intuition is wise. And I believe that it comes through eons of evolution this particular ability to discern right from wrong.
Right.
Or nobody had to raise
okay
me to think
do.
That. What's that?
I said, or what is okay to allow and what's not okay.
Right, right. No, nobody
right.
had to raise me to think that cannibalism is not right.
Oh,
although society is inundated with the fact that cannibalism is wrong, it was not something that I had to be taught. It was intrinsic in me to believe that I should not eat another human being. I don't know what the heck happened to Jeffrey Dahmer, but I'm telling you, for most of us, that's like some serious grossness. So
oh,
I agree
we're not
with you.
Discussing Jeffrey.
Mm.
Jeffrey,
he was one of my
count.
People,
he,
too. My God.
He's what?
He was
yeah,
one of my
no,
people.
You,
how do you think I feel?
No, you can't really lump him up. You can't lump him in with, quote-unquote, your people. Because your people
no,
are a hell of a lot smarter than he was.
Yeah, exactly.
Your, yes, and not all of your people are psychopaths. So
no.
That's very important to remember.
He went in a woo direction.
can I ask a question? This is a real personal question too, because we didn't actually discuss the parameters of what kind of questions I could ask you, Jamie. But is there a difference in being gay, being or homosexual, whichever term you prefer, and psychic? I mean, does that have anything to do with anything, or is that just a, you know, it's just what it is, what it is?
Well, honestly, I honestly believe that, I, as someone who is gay, I feel like I have a perspective that is somewhat different. And to some degree, I don't want to say special. I don't want to say that it's, you know, it's. But I tend to see things from, and I'm all about being a guy. I'm not a drag queen. I will never. I don't like dressing in drag or anything like that. You know, I've done it for Halloween.
Sorry,
I admit it, but you know,
I'm thankful for that because I hate it when men put on makeup and look better than me.
Yeah, well, you know, but
it's irritating.
You know, it's but. You know, I tend to see things from a guy's point of view, but I can also see it from a girl's point of view. I really
can I say
which is
something?
Why, which is why I love you so much.
So when you say, "Hey, Jamie, do I look good in this outfit?" You know, when he says yes, it's for real.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Although
or
I will say,
when
how many
says,
years has
good?
It? How many
Go
years
ahead.
Has it actually been since we've actually seen each other face to face?
That you know that is good. That is something I'm glad you brought that up because I was going to say that with our last caller. Tracy and I became friends when we were in second grade. Second
oh,
grade.
Wow.
Mr.
Okay.
Rogers' Neighborhood.
Yes, I was a little tiger in the clock. And
he was. I'm not kidding.
And, you know, we became friends when we were in second grade, and then, you know, things happened. You know, she eventually, we went to school for, you know, through elementary school for a while. We went to school in middle school, and then she eventually went to a different, started going to a different school. You know, and life happened. We lost connection. We lost, you know, it was weird. And then, but, you know, what's weird is she and I always had that connection. And I could always feel that she was okay. There were times when I could feel like, you know, if I knew where she was or if I had a way to connect, because I didn't have her phone number, I didn't have her on Facebook. You know, there was times when I thought, you know, I would like to love to get a hold of Tracy. I feel like she needs me. And then all of a sudden, it just sort of happened. And it's that connection that we have with our living people, with people who are still here with us physically, that I think that we need to nurture and take care of. But going back to being you know, a gay guy, if Tracy calls me up and says, hey, what do you think about this outfit? I'll be like, girl, girl, no, You know, and she knows that I'm not being mean. I'm just being honest. You know, it's like, come on. or if she calls me and, you know, asks me a question, you know, I can just be honest with her because I can see it from both angles. And I think it's the same thing with being being spiritual. In fact, Native Americans used, you know, in some tribes, if they had someone in their tribe who was either, who would, you know, basically was gay or lesbian, they called them two-spirited. And they, a lot of the time in Native American tribes and Native civilizations or ancient civilizations, people who were attracted to the same sex a lot of the time held positions of power. They were spiritual leaders. They were saw as being able to cross the veil between the worlds, and they held more power, or they had not power, but they were considered special, and they were given special positions.
I don't want to be the person to start shit. Yeah, I just realized I said a cuss word. But if you look into ancient histories of most cultures, that is the truth of the matter for most cultures. This didn't become a bad thing. Dude, I'm so not trying to bring religion into this, but it didn't become a bad thing until the Catholic Church took over. if you study history, because look at the Romans, look at the ancient Romans, look at the ancient Greeks, look at the ancient Egyptians. And I'm not trying to start a religion war. I swear to God, I'm not, because I believe what I believe. And although I'm very vocal about what I believe about the dead and the afterlife and whatnot, I keep my religion to myself because it's my business and nobody else's, and I don't share it with other people because it's not my job to preach to you. It's your job to preach to yourself and figure out what works for you. At the end of the day, we'll all get told what was right and what wasn't.
Right.
And those of us that are right or wrong will be told you're right or wrong, and then we'll have to deal with the repercussions of those actions and beliefs. But I preach about nothing. Nothing other than be kind to each other, because if you can't be kind to each other, you can't expect other people to be kind to you. And that has
That's not true. You do preach. You preach about the paranormal.
Well, okay. Because it exists, you're right.
Yes, it does.
I do preach about the paranormal because it exists, and those who refuse to believe only refuse to believe simply
because
they have not experienced.
Not to believe it,
right?
And
they,
when
right.
did they come?
Everybody's experienced it, but most people ignore it.
They do. But someday. Someone will be looking at a door that will open for no freaking reason. They will hear footsteps in an empty house, knowing that there's no one there. They will hear voices speaking to them, and they will have to make a decision at that point. Am I psychotic? Am I schizophrenic? Is there something wrong with me? Or is there something else going on? And listen, we've dealt with this in this family. I've got a little girl. Well, she's not a little girl anymore. She's 22 in just a few days, who refused, and I mean reputedly refused, to believe in the paranormal. She came to me over and over again telling me, Mom, I need therapy. I hear voices. And every time I'd say, well, if that's what you think, then go get therapy. But you were born into this family, and you have my genes, and you can refuse to believe in the dead, and you can believe that you are psychotic, you can believe that you have all sorts of emotional and mental issues, or you can accept that this is your freaking life. That's not what I said, but you can accept that this is your life, and you can deal with it as it is, and you can move on. It's your choice. Well, after 3.5 years of therapy, my daughter, bless her pea-picking little heart, came to me and said, okay, medication doesn't help. That's right, because you don't need medicated. We hear the dead. End of story. And I can say we because I know that my aunts have that issue. I know my sisters have that issue. I know that my great aunts and my mother and my grandmother had that issue. And it has been passed down from generation to generation. And we can say we're crazy or we can say, hey, this is my life and I'm going to deal with it. When you decide, hey, this is my life, and you're going to deal with it, then you deal with it, and you go on, and you don't need medication anymore. Sorry. Didn't mean to get on a rampage there.
See, I told you, you preach.
I do preach.
I'm
sorry.
Because that kind of goes back to my story, because, you know, until, you know, being gay, I used to struggle with being gay. I didn't want to be gay because I knew that I was, and, you know, I knew that, you know, going back to what Tracy was talking about, me and her watching Days of Our Lives on, you know, I was all about me some Jensen Ackles, okay?
Uh-huh.
But, you know, yeah.
Because he's beautiful.
But being a guy, beautiful is not the word, but, you know, being a guy who was, you know, in a Christian church, I wasn't supposed to think those things.
Right,
you know,
right.
I was supposed
neither
to be all
was
about,
I.
Yeah, I was supposed to be all about the girls.
I was raised in, I'm sure my family's going to have a freaking cow if they're listening to the show, but I already know they don't listen to the show because nobody knew I had one. I was raised in a very Protestant, devout Christian family. And here's how devout it went. My oldest brother is a Baptist minister, retired. My grandfather was a Nazarene minister. He's obviously gone now because he's my grandfather and retired. I have had so many preachers in my family that I should be a freaking evangelist, honestly. I have never been a by-the-bridge person. I've never been it. I was the youngest member ever accepted in the Nazarene Church ever across the nation. When I became a member of that church, I was the only child at the age of 11 who was accepted. I have no issues with these particular denominations because I think they're all kind of right. They're all kind of right. But they're not totally right in my book, because I have never been one of those people that can just accept it and buy that bridge. I just can't accept it. I have questions. I want to know why. Tell me this. Tell me that. Tell me this. Tell me that. And a lot of it, I can go to the Bible and I can look it up and I can tell you the answer to that question. Give me a question. I'll give you a verse and I will give you the chapter and I will tell you the answer biblically. But do I buy it? Not always. Some of it, abso-freaking-lutely. I don't think that makes me a bad person. That just makes me who
no.
I am.
And the thing is, the majority of people that have paranormal gifts are usually like that because they have a background. Like Benny and Jamie, we attended the same church for a long period of time, and I thought he's going to be a preacher. Like, I just knew he was going to be a preacher, but there was just something not, I don't want to say not quite right, but there was always something else there.
Different, just different.
But I knew he was gifted. Like, from the get-go, even in the second grade, I knew he was gifted. And we were, like, in youth group together, the whole deal in college, and both of us trying to do what was right, in the eyes of the majority. And but both of us were just different. I mean, there was no other way to describe it. And in fact, when we reconnected in like 2007 or 8, he hesitated to tell me what his orientation was, thinking that I was still in that mindset. And I ended up being like, dude, whatever that you want to do that makes you happy, I'm going to love you no matter what choice you make. You were
Amen.
Like my brother growing up, so it doesn't matter to me. And when people say things now, I will defend him until they shut the lid, because I know him. I know what he can do. I grew up with him. I don't know that there's anybody else on the planet other than his partner that probably knows him as well as I do. And I would never, ever question or put him down for his choices. And it really upsets me when other people do that, not only to him, but in general. So I can definitely see eye to eye with the whole, we have to accept and we have to love and we have to be kind and we cannot judge, because that's not our job.
We have to. And I'll tell you why we have to. I don't know that I've ever said this publicly, but I'm going to say this right now. I have a daughter who is a lesbian. Now, granted, when she came to me and said, I like girls, she was 18 years old, and I was like, oh, thank God. I really was. And,
yay!
I had a couple of friends who are fundamentalist Christians who were very pissed off at me because I was like, oh, thank God, and they thought I should have been preaching at her. But I was relieved, because at that point I had raised three of my grandchildren, and I was thinking, that's one less kid I got to raise. Hallelujah. yes, it was selfish, but that is what I thought. Now, I honestly thought that, I really believed when she told me that, that it was because she was mad at men, because just a couple of weeks before then, she had asked me to sign, because she'd been 17 at the time, asked me to sign for her to marry someone, and I said, absolutely not, because if and when that doesn't work out, you're not going to come at me and blame me for that. That is a decision you will make on your own when you're 18. So I did the same with tattoos, because they wanted me to sign for tattoos, and I'm like, oh, hell no, not happening. If you make that mistake, it is your mistake, not mine. Since that period of time, much more time has passed, and guess what? She's still a lesbian. So I have an option here as a parent. I can either be upset because, oh, wow, I'm not going to have any grandkids from that kid, or I can be elated
supportive
that she found her path in life.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? I'm
support
elated
her, dear,
that she found her path in life, because I have never cared, and I have told my children this from the time they were old enough to ask questions. I don't care what color. I don't care what gender.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care who you're with, what their name is, or where they come from, as long as they treat you right and make you happy.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I didn't say that because I was blowing smoke up their butts. I said it because I meant it.
And the thing is, if you're any kind of parent, that's exactly how you're going to respond.
Right.
How you should respond.
Because
right.
life is, and people, I'm not playing here. Read Getting Over It. Read Getting Over It, and you'll figure out I'm not playing here. Life is about making the most of the mess and
mm-hmm.
managing to be happy with it. And if you can't make the most of the mess and be happy with it, then you're doing something freaking wrong, and it's your turn to figure out what you're not doing right, not what everybody else is doing against you, what you're not doing right. Because at the end of the day, it's not about what everybody else does that makes you happy. It's what you do to make yourself happy.
Right.
Just a little commercial there. Sorry about that. But
that's
the truth.
That's what my, yeah, it is. And that's the thing that, you know, because for me, when I finally embraced the fact that I'm a gay man and I accepted that about myself instead of fighting it, that is when, even though, like I said, I was having psychic experiences before that, but when I finally did that, and that is when my path opened, and literally that's when my psychic abilities exploded, and that's when I began having more experiences, and things started being opened up to me more, and that's why I believe that that's, I'm happy and I'm on the path that I'm supposed to be on.
Because you accepted yourself.
Exactly. And until you can do that, if you keep on fighting yourself, and I'm not saying, you know, the people out there who are listening, I'm not saying, you know, I'm saying this to people who are gay, I'm saying this to people who are psychic, I'm saying this to people who, whatever it is that you're fighting.
It doesn't matter if you're fat, skinny, black,
right.
White, green, purple, yellow, or ugly. Love
you. I fit all those categories.
Accept yourself and love you because you are a unique and totally one of a kind. I don't care if you have a damn twin. You're one of a kind.
Yep.
Sorry,
and
Jamie. I'm just going to butt right in there.
No,
accept you for who you are.
Exactly. And then that's
Jenny, may I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Is it wrong of me to be offended to hear, even as you put it, a gay man? I don't like hearing the word I'm gay this or I'm gay that. I want to hear, you know, I'm a man. I don't care your preferences. It's like I raise my kids. You are not friends with this black girl or this yellow girl or this blue girl. You're friends with this girl. It's the same way with the gays and lesbians and the bis and the trans. To me, putting that label on it doesn't make you any more or any worse than Joe Bob down the street. Is it wrong that I don't like hearing that adjective added to it?
I mean, because to be honest with you, I don't necessarily, and my partner and I discussed this multiple times, I don't necessarily like putting that label on myself or anyone else, but I think that we live in a society where labels are unfortunately thrust upon us.
Unfortunately,
I agree with that.
There anymore.
Yeah,
I mean,
and I think that we have to start trying to get away from that, because I hate it when I hear, if I say, well, that African-American lady or that Mexican man or that lesbian woman, whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, whatever.
Not that there's lesbian men, but, you know.
There might be.
There are some
lesbians. There could be lesbian men. But, I mean, when you put those labels on people, you're sort of, or, you know, like I use the term witch.
You're singling yourself
some people
out
are
to
going,
me.
Yeah, and I don't really necessarily like that, but I think there's a time and a place sometimes in a sense
right.
for it, especially
right.
because if I'm going to go in and I'm going to be talking to a bunch of guys, and they're sitting there, you know, these are men, you know,
yeah,
and I come in,
sure?
First of all,
man,
I think they're going
man.
To know when I first walk in that, you know, yeah, but there's going to be, I think I have to kind of present myself to some degree to begin the opening the door so that I can talk with them.
Yeah.
And I have a lot of guy friends who are, they're heterosexual guys, they know that I'm gay, and it's not because I walked in and go, hey guys, I'm Benny, or I'm Jamie, and I'm the gay guy.
Right.
How y'all doing?
Right.
I didn't do that. But they just kind of sort of picked up on it after a while, or some type of conversation got started and it just kind of came out. But I can understand, because to be honest with you, I don't want to walk up to someone and go, hi, I'm Jamie, and I'm Irish, and I'm gay, and I have red hair, and, yeah.
That's funny, because I do. Hey, I'm Willow. and I'm Irish, and I see dead people, because I do.
I'm psychic. You know, you're putting labels on yourself, but I think that, unfortunately, I think we live in a society where it's sort of thrust upon us, but I know what you're saying, and I sort of take offense to that to some degree, because it's kind of like, okay, you're kind of you're putting yourself in a box.
Right. Yes,
right.
You are. You're limiting things.
You know, and but at the same time, you can kind of take some pride in that too. I take pride in the fact that I'm a gay man. But I know what you're saying. I get you.
I don't think there's anything.
I'm not trying to put anybody down, but
no.
To me, it's like, you know, okay, Willis calls me her quote-unquote psychic advisor. I do not announce to a lot of people what I can and can't do psychically because a lot of people are freaked out by it.
You don't have to because I tell everybody.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
When they come to me and they say, oh, what do I do about this and what do I do about that, I say, look, I talked to Michaela, and you can find her here, and you need to ask her because that's who I ask when this comes about. But the thing is this, and I got to say this, and I hope it doesn't offend you. I take great stock in your opinion of things. When I came to you, I was very troubled with these dreams that I felt were real, that were leading me in a direction.
Can I stop you, Willow?
Huh?
Hold that thought. Jamie, do me a favor. Turn around and see if you sense something behind you.
Yes, there's an energy behind me.
My advice to you is get rid of it real quick.
Okay.
If you can't, I will. All you have to do is say Michaela's around. If you want to stay in the form you're in, leave now. Otherwise, I will remove it. I'm sorry, Willow. That one.
No, don't be sorry.
Real hard.
This is why I call her. Listen, I don't mean to sound like an ass because this sounds very arrogant, but I very rarely run into entities that I cannot rid myself of or other people of. But when I run into those entities, guess who I contact and say, dude, I need help.
Same one.
Michaela,
and
sorry,
she
Jamie.
Says,
I'm sorry, Jamie, that one
bugs
me real bad.
What are you getting now?
Did you tell it to leave?
Yes.
Did you mention Michaela, or did you just say leave? Honey, it's not gone.
Okay.
What's to your right?
One night I called her because my house was in total chaos. And when I mean total chaos, I mean everyone was fighting with everyone. And
ew.
I felt like I was going to lose my mind. And I called her and I said, I need help. I don't know what's going on. I sense all this bad energy and I cannot get rid of it. And she walked on the phone through my house with me and said, you have a portal in this back bedroom in the closet. You need to close it. Do you know how? And I said, yes, I do. But I had not known previously that it was there. Later on, after I closed the portal and we had finished cleaning the house together over the phone, I discovered that my son and a few of his friends had a Ouija board in that particular bedroom and had decided to play around with it. Now, let me tell you something.
Ouija boards.
Anybody
in my heart.
Yeah, right.
There's a
anybody
wall.
In my family
it's,
that decides to mess with that crap.
I'll put it to you, hon.
Huh?
Well, I've got to take care of the spirit.
It's right next to me.
It's
so tell him what
the
you told me.
Of that wall. No, there's something on the other side of the wall. Jamie, I need you to get away from the wall, hon.
That's my neighbor's apartment.
That's fine. Get away from the wall.
Okay, I'm away from it.
Give me a few minutes, Willa. Go ahead and talk. I'm going to take care of this.
All right, you go ahead. So after much discussion with my son and his friends and what had been done, I discovered that they had brought a Ouija board into the house and that they had decided they were going to play around with it. Now, anyone in my bloodline that wants to play around with that kind of nonsense is asking for trouble. Because if you already have abilities, trying to enhance them with something like that is a problem waiting for a place to happen. It really is. So we closed the portal together. We got the house cleared.
Okay, from Jay, that you're fine now.
From that moment on, we had serenity and peace and no trouble. But up to that point, it was World War III in that house. And I mean World War III. I had 3 grown children living there and a teenager and grandchildren. And it was like hell had unleashed itself on earth with the fighting. And after everyone woke up the next day, most of the people in the house did not know what had transpired. And everybody was like, wow, I'm in such a good mood. I'm like, yeah, well, it's no freaking wonder. Bring a Ouija board to my house again. I'm going to kick somebody's A-double hockey sticks.
Jamie, if you know how to close portals, I would do so right about now, sweetheart.
Okay, I can do that.
And don't mind the puddle as you're cleaning up.
Okay.
You may sense a little puddle. That's what's left of whatever that little imp was. Needless to say, Junior's about ready to get a visit from me.
Well, as long as it's not Cersei, because she has inundated my household with so much mess. So much mess. And,
no.
And listen, if you folks want to learn about all of this, you need to check out Michaela's book, which it's not been published yet, correct?
Not yet. I think because I still have to find the cover for the book 1 and 2.
Once you read this book, you're going to be like, holy shit. How did that happen?
Not on talk radio.
It's amazing. It really is amazing. Anyhow,
well,
listen, we are 7-2, which means we've got to close the show down, unfortunately.
Okay.
I want to thank Jamie for coming on and talking. Jamie, can you give us your website and any info that we need to get your new book?
I am going to be creating the website. I don't have it yet. but I will definitely put that information. I will send that information to you, and that way you can post it for me.
Okay.
My book is nearly done. I do want to tell you that I'm going to be sending it to publishing here very soon. And then also I am co-authoring a book with Tracy, and it's dealing a lot with past lives. It is fictional, but there's a lot of lessons that we're going to be teaching in that book also. So be looking for that as well.
Okay. And Michaela?
I didn't do it on purpose. What?
Did you create a page yet like I told you to, or you still don't have one?
I did, and there was no traffic, so I deleted it. I can create another one again. That ain't no big deal.
Okay. If anybody has any questions for Michaela, who is my psychic advisor, go ahead
and
hit me up on the phone.
And now I'm Tracy's and Jamie's.
Huh?
I said now I'm Tracy and Jamie's too.
Yeah.
Yes.
if you need to get in touch with her, you contact us at the Paranormal Hour on the fan page, or on my regular fan page, Willa Cross Books on Facebook. Tracy, give them your info, please.
You can find me at tracyford.com. That's the easiest way to find everything and anything, which includes links to my blog, my YouTube channel, reviews for my books. That you can find everything there. If you would rather follow me on Facebook, you can do that. at www.facebook.com, and it's author Tracy Ford. And that's how you can find me.
And I can be found every damn where. If you can't find me, you're not looking. Come check things out. I can't say it again because I'll get fined. Everywhere. If you need us, we're here for you. We've got our own YouTube channel. We are going to do ghost investigations. If you're in the tri-state Indian area, we will try to help you. Contact us through the Paranormal Hour fan page on Facebook, and we will help you the best we can. Until then, thank you for listening to the Paranormal Hour on the World of Ink Network. Check us out. We are everywhere. And everybody have a good night, and we'll see you next time on the Paranormal Hour. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
All right, good night.
Bye.